Today's radio show on TheFandom.com is sponsored by our featured product, the Empire Strikes Back All-Terrain Armored Transport. The AT-AT, for those in the know, is the iconic, gigantic, four-legged transport and combat vehicle. This fantastic piece from the original studio was used in The Empire Strikes Back. For more information on ordering, log on to TheFandom.com. And happy new year. Welcome back to TheFandom.com. It is Monday and it is time for the Chase Masterson Show. And here is the star of the Chase Masterson Show, Chase Masterson.
Hey everybody, welcome to TheFandom.com and our first installation show for 2005. We hope that you all had great holidays. And I am really excited because today might as well be a holiday because we have one of my very, very favorite actors here, Mr. Dean Haglund.
Hi, Chase.
How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in.
I'm thanking you.
Well, no, we are thanking you, and indeed, so are the fans out there, because I have to say this right off the bat.
Okay,
Not only are you a wonderful actor on many wonderful shows and projects, but you're also a fan favorite. I was doing some looking on the internet, as I'm sure most of you are out there, and you're just all over the place. It's really nice to see, you know, all the fun things that people have to say about you.
Well, that's very sweet, and they are fun, aren't they?
Yes.
And you and I both get out there and say, hey, fans!
Right.
Isn't it fun?
Well, we're very thankful for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing.
And I'm thankful for you, because I have a gift for you.
You don't?
I do.
No.
From the Cleveland Volcon Convention.
Yeah?
Do you remember?
Of course I remember.
I did my little stand-up comedy show where I improvised the episode of The X-Files. And
yes,
you came in and did a little camera work right off the top when Holly had to go run and do the door.
Oh, that's so funny.
There's a little gift for the DVD.
Oh, it's just like camera work.
That's
thank
right.
Thank you so much. You didn't have to, because I was going to buy it from you.
No, you were not.
I was.
Not with you doing the camera.
Well, okay, heck, I'll take this one. But you guys who don't yet have one, you've got to definitely at some point in the next hour even log on to DeanHaglund.com and check this out. He's got a fabulous comedy show that he does at conventions everywhere. And his comedy act is really hysterically funny. I mean, I was on the floor, Dean.
That's so sweet.
And so was everyone else there. Because
we ran out of chairs. See, the funny there is hilarious.
Hilarious. And impromptu.
Impromptu, which is what I do. I improvise the episode of The X-Files on stage.
Well, tell us about that. I mean, we have so many X-Files questions, but go ahead and tell us about that, because I know that the comedy thing is something that people come in droves to see you currently.
Right.
Tell us about X-Files comedy.
Well, you know how it started?
Yes.
The year was 19... it was my very first convention, and X-Files had just started, and I was still... You know, we had no idea, the Lone Gunman, how much or how little we were going to be on the show. We just
right.
got phone calls, right?
Okay.
So they said, oh, hey, come and do a convention. And I was kind of freaked out because I wasn't watching The X-Files. So I was thinking, oh, my God. And they said, you got 45 minutes of time on stage. And I was thinking they're going to ask me really difficult questions about the show. I wasn't knowing what the hell I was going to do.
Gasp.
Oh, freaked
no.
out.
Oh, no. So you didn't know any of the other episodes except your own?
Except my own. And then I had watched a couple, but I was always working. I was always doing stand-up or I was out in the clubs.
Right.
So I wasn't, you know, getting a chance to record and watch everything.
Oh, my God.
So I was, like, freaked out. So I was doing two-man improv in the bars in northern British Columbia when I got this call to come do this convention. And when you're doing two-man improv, you develop a skill where you can improvise with a drunk guy,
mm-hmm.
and then the other guy can go get the bouncer
right.
and get that guy off stage and punch him out or whatever. You know, it's like
right.
really rough bars right there,
yeah.
right? So because I had like
Asian
enough skill, yeah, I could basically improvise with really drunk guys, lumberjacks,
uh-huh.
for an hour by myself
okay.
if I had to.
Right. About X-Files?
No, or about anything.
About anything.
About anything. But then, so as we said, you got 45 minutes. Why don't you just improvise an episode of The X-Files? The fans will love it. It seems like you talked about the show.
Right.
And you won't have to answer any questions.
Wow.
So the first time I did it was in front of 600, 700 people. And it was the very first time I put the whole show together. And it was very close to a disaster. Because the very first guy I picked I pull fans out from the audience, for those of you who don't know.
Right.
And the very first guy I pick, I go, "You, sir, come and join me on stage." And his wife's going, "No, no, you don't want to pick him." I go, "Yeah, come on." And then I look down, and his seeing eye dog was under the chair.
No way.
I was picking a blind guy.
Oh,
and then
dear.
I went, oh, dear.
But that's no. Okay. He could still be...
Well, for the first one, he has to sort of see the movements I'm doing for audience sound effects, right?
Oh.
He's doing sound effects.
Oh, that's right.
While I'm, like, opening doors
exactly.
And stuff like that.
Exactly. The arms and back.
Yeah. And
that's
so,
right. Okay,
so,
right.
I didn't pick him. But that from then on, the show just went just through the roof.
Ouch. Well,
I know.
No, that's hysterically. Oh, that's so great.
Isn't that great?
Now I'm recalling more and more. You've got to see this. I mean, I was completely taken by it. It was, it's very, very funny. Do you have any clips that you could show us? Or do you think at some point we're going to log a couple of these on and see if we can show these to you guys at the fandom.com out there.
You go through there. There's no chapters on that.
We'll show you just the very beginning of the video clip.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys stay tuned, and we'll be showing that. We'll have that up for you a little bit later in the
show.
Look
at how tech quality this show is, man.
Hey, we're here at the fandom.
Holy smokes.
And speaking of which, all right, you know what? Speaking of tech quality, I got to go back to the beginning now.
Okay.
I know a lot of the fans out there have seen you a lot, many times over, in fact. But I have not heard the story, and I'm sure a lot of the fans out there have not heard the story. How did you get to be Langley?
Oh, I auditioned.
Okay.
The weirdest acting story ever.
Can you imagine?
It was first season, X-Files, nobody, you know. I got the call from my agent. He goes, "I don't know, some show with FBI and aliens, whatever."
Okay.
Like, nobody knew what the show was, right?
Oh, my God.
So, and they didn't know what they wanted for the gunman. All they knew was, like, hey, here's weird, creepy people, you know, whatever.
Thanks a
lot. And, yeah, and the audition was so weird because there was, like, huge guys with shaved heads and military fatigues coming into audition for the role of Langley.
Okay.
Everybody I did stand-up comedy with, they were bringing in comedians, they were bringing in improvisers, actors. It was just this wide range of things. And it was actually a beautiful sunny day in Vancouver where I was living at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, I come in and I read this thing, and it was kind of dumb because it was the episode EBE where Langley's on the phone for half the scene.
Okay.
So I'm miming the phone while the two casting agents are talking to each other. And I'm just looking around going, this is the biggest waste of time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, but I had, you know.
It's horrible when they do that, isn't
but
it?
But I had mentally let it go.
Right.
And I think that's probably why my, like, the performance was what it was, because I could not give a crap. All my friends were in the room. It was a sunny day. It was a, you know, beautiful day to be alive as an actor and the whole thing.
Right.
And then they said, oh, come on back. We got to read you with other buyers. And so
other buyers,
because they hadn't found. They sort of said, okay, sure, we'll pick you as Langley.
Right, right, exactly.
We got you as Langley. Now we need, you know, to size you up
with
somebody, right? And I read with all these different guys, including my very best friend. He was best man at my wedding. I was best man at his wedding.
How great!
And he's now on Stargate as the guy who opens the Chevron gate, Gary Jones.
Gary Jones, okay.
Yeah, so you can see
how great is that?
Yeah, so he came in and read for buyers, and he didn't get it. And he actually never, he auditioned some 8-10 times for X-File parts, never got a single one.
Ouch.
But then he gets the Stargate that runs
there
for 12 years.
Isn't that how it goes as an actor?
Totally.
So I was looking at what your first things were, and you had maybe done like one job. Is it okay if I mention it?
Yeah, yeah.
One job before X-Files.
Dangerous
Indiscretion as the crack addict.
Well, you know, that long hair I had was mine.
Yeah. Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I do know that.
And I, you know, the rebellious guy that I am, as it were. Oh, geez, I know, huh? Did you see my motorcycle? Yeah, no.
Is it out there?
No.
Oh,
sorry. It's still.
I'm just looking at that incredible leather outfit you have on.
Oh, it's please.
Cool.
Anyway.
That zipper.
Ow.
I'm kidding.
There's no leather outfit.
He's in cotton. Go on, Dean.
It's all Gap. I refused to cut my hair for roles, like, and stuff, and so there was, like, Second City asked me to audition, and I said, as long as I keep my hair, they go, no, you'll have to cut it. And I said, well, forget it. And I didn't bother auditioning for Second City.
Really?
Yeah, and that sort of thing.
But
Why?
Yeah, no. I mean, was it you just loved your long hair? It was part of who you were. Is that just holding your ground and then it worked
finally? I think I was more angry at corporate, systems.
Cookie cutter actors.
Kinda.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? If this is what I look like right now.
Oh no, so, that's great.
Of course, now I cut my hair and I love it. But
it is very cute. BTW. We do love being short hair, don't we, girls?
Oh dear.
Okay. And guys, I don't know.
Well, not at all.
Okay.
Just whatever.
So you were cast as the role of Langley, mm-hmm. and when this happened, did you have any idea? This is probably the second most common question asked. Did you have any idea what it would turn out into?
No, I don't think anybody did.
Was it a recurring role at the very beginning?
No,
was it a one shot?
It was a one shot thing.
Wow.
And what was weird was that was 1994. And that was, yeah, I know. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Is that 11 years ago?
Yes.
This is how I know it's, I was listening to the radio, this day in history, X-Files started. And I was just like, oh!
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
ouch.
Grandpa's got to hurt.
Oh, we'll get you some Botox.
Please. I it was just going to be this one-shot thing.
Right.
The next day, I was doing the commish. Like, it was one of those weird, I'm doing the commish the next day.
Right.
Here's a day on this show, I'm doing a day on that show, blah, blah, whatever,
yeah.
Right? It turns out that the X-Files had a news group, Alt-TV X-Files, an early news group on the internet.
Okay.
And what was great was all the writers and producers would lurk in this site mm-hmm. to get honest feedback on a TV show. It was one of the first times writers and producers could get honest feedback
right.
because, you know, normally you call your mom.
Early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
very
your
early.
Mom say, oh, the couch looked ugly. And that was, you know, the best feedback you get on
right.
writing a TV show. Now you got to see fans bitching or liking stuff on the show.
For the first time,
for the
really
first time ever.
Ever. Wow.
And then when the gunmen show up, they say, aha, this is proof that the writers and producers are lurking in our news group because they had put characters that represent this culture. And sure enough, it was true. So the writers would bring us back time and time again. And go, oh, let's bring back the gunmen to spike interest on the news group, Alt TV X-Files.
Oh, that's great.
And this
great.
Symbiotic relationship happened, and lo and behold, we became these recurring characters. And then
so basically, it was fan response.
Fan response.
That's so great.
That then got us, you know, our own episodes, and then our own spinoff.
Then your own series.
And now action figures.
The whole deal.
Crazy.
Okay, I'm going to ask about your own series in a minute. But
okay.
The important stuff, the action figures. And give me the lowdown. You've got action figures. You've got a comic book.
Yes.
Just brag for a minute, please. This is so exciting.
Okay, let's see. As of yesterday, my friend, Brian Dooley,
yes.
is carving my head as Langley at Side Effects, who did all the Lord of the Rings stuff. And they're doing 12-inch Lone Gunman series that should be coming out next summer. And then Palisades
wow.
is putting out little blockos.
Oh, that's so fun.
In sections. And so Frohickey comes out first, I believe, in like 2 months.
Okay.
As a little 3-inch
kind of Lego, you know, blockos.
Oh, how fun. Right,
yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then mine comes out, Langley comes out July.
Oh, the Langley Blocko.
The Langley Blocko.
Didn't you always want one? Where do you go from here in a career?
I know.
You've got your Blocko.
If I didn't believe in voodoo, I would be much more happy.
Okay,
no,
seriously, I'm
yeah,
going to buy
yeah.
one. All right, so, and
your action figure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting one of yours. Signed. So, what else? Now, a comic book you were mentioning.
A comic book? Yes. I'm actually drawing a comic book.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, that's so fun.
I fancy myself a bit of a cartoonist.
I was going to mention that later.
Were you?
Yes.
I'm jumping to it now.
We saw the Santa. If anyone has owned
right,
me at DeanHaglin.com, you must write in and agree with me. We saw the Santas I've seen. Santa Christmas cards and Santa
ornaments.
Round Santa ornaments,
yes.
And this Santa is round in more ways than one, let me tell you. It's just a picture of a Santa
in New York City who was sitting on a box and his gut was showing. And I had a whole series of Christmas cards of different mall Santas that I remembered since I was a young kid that are all looked.
It's
you know.
Completely indicative of the humorously skewed side of Dean Haglin that we all know and love. Check it out, you guys. I think that's under, I don't know, what's that under
that's
on your
under
website? I think that's under
Garage Sale?
Dean's Garage Sale.
I know.
What a website with character, man.
I know.
I tell you guys.
So what's happening there is I'm going to sell off all the gag I got from X-Files.
Are you?
The 10 years, yeah.
You mean the real stuff?
The real stuff.
What, like books, memorabilia?
Yeah, party invites and
oh my gosh,
like everything X-Files that's like so rare and never been offered before.
That is incredible.
And I'm offering it first to the people who are signed up to the news group, to the newsletter.
That is so great.
And then the rest that they don't buy will go onto a little purchase site on my Dean's Grad site.
Oh, that is so fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you can sign up for your newsletter online.
Yes, you can. Right on the
free,
front page.
Right?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely free.
So you just sign on, log on, and you,
yeah,
and you send...
I get newsletters. I send them up once every 2 months.
That's fabulous.
And, you know, no spam or anything.
No spam? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
You're not going to sell my address to, like, you know...
Well, I'm selling your address, Dave,
okay,
of course. What, are you crazy?
Okay.
I know, it's a marketing opportunity.
It's you with all those Viagra commercials. Thank
That's
you so much,
mean.
Dean.
I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Excellent.
Okay, next question.
Please.
Tell me about working with the cast. I know that these are questions that, you know, you
no,
get
please.
Asked all the time. But
ask
who did you like? Who did you have a fun time working with? What were your favorite parts about the people on the show?
See, this is the thing. Because the show started like from nothing and grew to this huge thing that nobody expected it. It was really a family that all kind of grew together.
Right.
And it was really phenomenal. So everybody, we're all like in the same kind of giddy, oh my God, can you believe this is happening,
right,
boat, right?
Hey kids, let's,
yeah,
put on a show.
Yeah, it's not like you're going into Star Trek going, oh, you know what this kind of franchise is? Listen, I'll tell you, you're making $1,000.
Right.
Like nothing like that.
I hope we get our seventh year.
Right. It was just like, right, oh my God, this is crazy.
Right.
And we like talk in the trailer about, oh boy, it's BBC, and I got an email from Bangladesh, and you know, it was like all that kind of like silly kids in the candy store kind of thing.
Right.
So that bonding that everybody did, from like Smoking Man,
yeah,
to Skinner to David and Jillian, it was really, really sweet. And
really?
Yeah,
that's
it was
so
really
great.
And then when it sort of became, you know, a lot of work, when,
right,
it really became successful,
right,
then everybody was putting 18-hour days, and suddenly you're working into the dawn of Saturday mornings, and that kind of stress sort of affected a lot of people. I mean, for the gunmen, we come in, we say our lines twice, we get the hell out of there, you know, in time for lunch.
Well, and that's part of the beauty of it, you know.
Oh, my God.
That you've left us wanting more.
Holy smokes. Tell me about the easiest gig as an actor.
Oh.
Those were my pants and my shoes, and threw a T-shirt on, fake glasses.
Wow.
Say your lines, get the hell out.
That's so fun.
And then you have like 3-4 months off, so I go tour, do stand-up clubs.
Right.
Do other acting gigs.
Right.
Run around the country. It was the best time. Most amount of work, or most amount of exposure for the least amount of work,
that's,
if you can imagine.
That's so great.
It was totally great.
And leading to a lot of great other things.
Totally, totally great.
Fabulous.
It was so much fun.
Fabulous.
And so when that stress affected, you know, David and Jillian, that sort of became, they were separated out. Like it used to be we all go to a bar afterwards and,
right,
we'd all sit around. And then as those two became more famous, everybody would like, from the bar would like rush those two guys,
mm-hmm,
and then the rest of us would just be sitting sort of off to the side while the fan, where they had to do fan management, and we would just be drinking in the corner kind of thing.
I find that hard to believe, but hey, you know, drinking in the corner, that's fine too.
Drinking in the corner. You find it hard to believe we were drinking in the corner?
Not you. I mean, not in a bad way. Okay,
hi. Oh, this has gone straight to hell.
Oh,
how,
hey,
fast did this go?
All right. Tell me though, but they remained pretty down to earth, didn't they?
They sure did.
They really
did. And remarkably, they kept a sense of humor for the whole show that,
yeah,
you know, I've seen other people just either believe all the press that they got or, you know, personally take the show,
right,
you know what I mean? When,
right,
you take the show personally,
mm-hmm,
and then like every little thing becomes a huge importance.
Right.
That never really happened. They maintain a perspective throughout,
oh,
the whole thing.
Great.
Which is totally great and really important for an actor to do.
Very,
that.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
And I've seen other leads in other shows, you know.
Not
well, and it's understandable because your picture is on the cover of Vanity Fair and the name of the show.
Right.
It becomes a real easy thing to just go, oh yeah, I'm the show.
Mm.
And
wrong.
And then it becomes so personal so that when the show is canceled, it's your canceled, right?
Well,
I know, and think of that.
That's just ego, which is really the actor's greatest and perhaps only enemy.
Yes.
I mean, that's the death of creativity. It's the death of friendships.
Right.
It's the death of everything that's really important in the business or the art.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a real, you know, almost Zen Buddhist mind trick to not to separate ego from work and who you are to what you do and the whole thing.
Just
so
to remain loving of the work itself and of your friends that you make along the way.
Totally.
Yeah,
it makes a big difference.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So, they never did that. They maintained
a
perspective. Yeah, so it was really cool.
That's really great to hear.
Yeah.
Tell me, we've got some questions from the audience coming in a second, but tell me, before we move on, I've got some Lone Gunman questions,
oh, yes,
too, about the spinoff.
Oh, right.
But what was your favorite episode of X-Files itself?
Well, you know, it really had to be Unusual Suspects, where the gunmen were introduced for the first time in
right.
a flashback, where, you know, all the cell phones were giant.
Uh-huh.
Remember those giant white porcelain things?
Like Maxwell Smart's shoe or something.
Totally.
I thought of, like, that was a huge thing.
You remember when cell phones first came out?
Yes.
Everybody thought they were so cool, walking around in these
right.
giant beige,
right.
like all the computer monitors stuck there.
I know.
It was just like, yeah, guys look pathetic.
That's funny.
So that episode was actually season 5, I think it was. And it was sort of, up till then, you know, we didn't even know if we would come back the next season. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you guys, you get your own episode. David and Jillian, they're both busy doing other projects, so we're just going to write one about you, and it'll be a whole flashback episode,
right.
and it was so much fun to do, and that's always stood out as my, like, favorite, and that was sort of a turning point for the government to suddenly,
sure.
you know, that we developed our own following separate from the show.
Right. And then when was it that it was in 2001 that Lone Gunman became a series in and of itself?
That's right. We started shooting in 2000,
mm-hmm.
And it started airing in 2001, and actually it aired about 8 months, because the pilot episode, we stop a plane from flying into the World Trade Center 8 months before it actually happened.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And on September 11th, I had, you know, watched the TV, but I had not put it together. I was supposed to
right.
fly out that morning to go do stand-up in Kansas City. And I had my bags packed,
oh,
and
boy.
I was sleeping, and we had shot the night before till 3 a.m.
Right.
And then, lo and behold, that happens, and I get a call from one of the writers going, are you watching this? And I'm going, yeah, well, why are you calling me of all the people to call? And then all of a sudden, wow, holy
oh
crap, that's just like our show. And it you know, and it freaked the writers out more than anything.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah. And in fact, now The Lone Gunman's coming out on DVD this March with that episode.
Okay.
Plus all this commentary of how we all experienced that episode with the reality
I'm sure.
closely matching.
What was the name of that episode now?
That was called just the Lone Gunman pilot, I guess.
Okay.
Just pilot, first episode.
Okay,
so
right.
if you get the DVD series, it'd be the first one in there.
Wow. That is extremely poignant.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was quite the shocker
yeah.
once you actually put it together, because then you go, well, you know, clearly they got it from a Tom Clancy novel. They didn't have any premonition. I mean, so,
yeah.
I mean, they had said where their influence
was. Oh, they
were.
Said that they had gotten it from a comic.
I think so. They'll be on the commentary for sure. I didn't sit in on their commentary.
Wow.
But I do recall them saying, you know, it's already in a Tom Clancy novel, so it wasn't like they had some crazy access to
right.
some terror.
No,
give them a call.
No. We're not going to go there.
No, clearly not.
The world is tough enough right now.
Exactly.
Okay, we've got a couple questions
oh,
from
really?
JW out there. Hey, JW, thanks for joining us.
Not the JW.
Maybe it is the JW.
Oh, okay.
This JW is asking, what was the most challenging part of developing the persona of Richard Ringo Langley?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you prepare for the role? Were there any people you studied or based the persona on?
Funny you should ask, because in college, my major was theater with a minor in modern dance. Not to brag. I know.
You know, it fits.
Does it?
It really does.
I know. You could see it, can't you?
I could see it.
Mm.
It's that long flowing black scarf you're wearing.
That's from my in the door scarf.
Yes.
I know. I can't drive the Bugatti without snapping my neck.
Changing clothes, you guys. Amazing here. Okay.
Anyway, I had also taken, as electives, a bunch of physics classes.
Okay.
And so I was hanging around with all these upper-level computer scientist physics guys.
Okay.
We actually formed a really crappy band together.
Okay.
And I was drumming. I can't believe... Yeah, so I'm a drummer.
Oh. We've spoken about this. More on this later, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Anyway, so those guys, they weren't the nerdy pocket protector types. They were all like into, you know, Far Eastern martial arts and listened to Skid Row.
Right.
And had like a wide eclectic variety of tastes and things. So that was sort of what I based it on. Not like a nerdy computer guy,
right,
but somebody who is like so diverse in their knowledge and interests that everything, they like to play computer games, but they also like the rock bands and they enjoy the, you know, street luge, you know, and all like
right,
that kind of thing, right?
Right.
So when Lang came up, that was sort of like, oh, well, those are all the guys that hung out in college. Not the ones who wanted to be, but the ones who really were doing high-level physics and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Were like really kind of cool guys.
Right.
And they'd all have awesome stories. Oh, yeah, Skid Row and I, we were hanging out at the football game, and then I showed them how to equalize their soundboard. And it's just like, what?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
So it's like a general carpe diem kind of thing, like a passion that's beyond just... I mean, do you think that that's part of why you were cast? Did that take place early on in the audition,
yeah,
even?
Yeah, I guess so. I think so, because I was already, wow, the lights just got on. We were in the dark up till then.
Yes.
Wow.
You guys really should come over sometime. Creative Light Entertainment, just kidding.
Yeah. All right. yeah, I guess I brought that in, because those were the friends I was hanging with. So, of course, I was sort of fitting in. I was like the actor amongst the physics kind of thing. And the physicists liked having actors for friends. So it's like the same. So
right,
I think I was kind of like them. And we talked physics and science and extra thermodynamics, you know, which got me to the Chilpac.
That's very exciting.
Isn't it?
Okay. Now, when you talked extra thermodynamics, is that what you said?
Exothermodynamics. Uh-huh.
I knew
the,
that.
The heat transfer through exterior forces.
My gosh. All right. I think it is time to talk about this Chilpac. This is so fun.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I can't believe it.
It really is such a great idea.
Thank you.
And for those of you who are not on, log on DeanHaglund.com and check this out. It's under, well, I guess it's just right under Chilpac.
Chilpac. P-A-K is how you spell pack.
It defies description on my part. Tell us about the Chilpac.
The Chilpac is a laptop cooling system that is so simple, has no moving parts, doesn't require any plugins, anything silly. All you do is you whip it in your freezer, whip it under the laptop, draws the heat away from the CPU, your computer speeds up and saves your hard drive. It's that easy, folks. There's a condensation-proof material on it so that moisture doesn't develop and you don't short out your system. I have it patented, and it's now selling across the world, particularly in the last 2 months. The sales have shot through the roof. I can barely keep up. But, you know, I got people. But
you have people.
Yes. What you see there on the website is my old titanium G4 from Mac.
Okay.
Which one of the joys, you know, Chase, is being an actor on the show. Sometimes you get free stuff.
Do you, Gene?
Yes, perhaps so you know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And
so,
I was invited up to Apple Computers to launch OS X.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Because X, you know, X-Files, that was us.
Right.
So we went to the big party, and we were given a titanium... G4. Yeah, it was the early titanium G4, like
that's
one of the
nice,
first off-the-shelf models.
Right.
And
wow,
all the designers were at the
Thanks
party.
Thanks for visiting us. Here's your little G4. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And the designers said, you know, market demands, we make them super thin and super fast. And to do that, we have to sacrifice cooling fans.
Right.
So the bottom is, the whole thing is titanium to act as a heat sink to
right,
draw the heat away from the CPU.
Right.
However, it's, you know, slightly inefficient. So, of course, I bring this home. I'm writing on it, I'm emailing, I'm doing all sorts of editing on it, and I'm watching a DVD, and one day, watching the DVD, the whole thing just locks up. The whole friggin' thing.
Right.
The movie locks up. I can't operate at all.
Right.
At the same time, from my dance days, I had a little knee injury.
Okay.
And it's I have an ice pack on there, like one of those blue gel packs that you put in your freezer.
Yes.
I have that on my knee, and I take the laptop and move it to my knee and start doing something else, and suddenly the movie starts playing.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And it's one of those, Watson, come here, I need you.
This is divine providence.
It totally made sense all of a sudden. Of course,
wow,
the heat is being drawn away directly through the bottom of the laptop.
Right.
So it just, but moisture started developing. I had condensation on there, and I'm like,
right,
oh, my God, I'm going to short this out.
Right.
And a friend of mine said, well, the medical industry makes a material called Surfactant,
that allows heat to transfer and no moisture to develop. So I just had manufacturers put those two things together. I patent it, stick my face on it. It's called the chillpack.com. Sells for $19.95, people. There isn't a simpler solution to your laptop cooling.
So completely great.
I know. Time Warner Cable engineers actually tested this against all other cooling systems. Stands, fans.
Right.
And mine beat out all the other ones. And now they're field testing a couple of them. And they may be supplying all Time Warner Cable engineers with a chill pack across the country.
Lucky them. Wow. We're not jealous, are we, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh. Can have one of your very own.
I will have to absolutely find a way to get one. A notebook without a chill pack is like a geek without corrective shoes.
It runs, just not as fast.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So check that out.
Well, in fact, right, honey, on the front of the DVD, you'll see a commercial for Chillpack.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are looking to see if we can get that DVD up.
It's not going to happen.
Soon, if not.
It's too complicated.
Soon, if not now. We will move on and let us know when
what are you going to tell us?
Let us know when we've got that available.
The problem is that there's not a lot of talking on the DVD and...
just a lot of laughs.
Yes.
Well, where are you? I mean, don't go off the top. Go in towards the middle.
Okay. That the other problem is that I think that I don't think we have the rights to the theme from Chariots of Fire. To play.
Don't use that. That's the commercial. Go past that.
Let me try it.
Yeah, that's the commercial part.
Yeah.
Geez.
Thanks for bearing with us, everybody. You know how spontaneous we are here at the Phantom.com, so this is just kind of a last-minute idea that I thought that I'd asked if we could get on.
Yeah, you got it. That's like a preload. That's a preload comedy bit, and then the actual stand-up that I do is on the menu.
We'll work on having that up by the end of the show, you guys. We'll keep you posted. More questions. So let's go back to, you started to mention a little bit about... tell me about, I know you've mentioned Lone Gunman and certainly some of the pilot episode, but what was it like when they told you, okay, now it's all you,
well,
baby?
See, this is the bizarre thing. Normally, you get development deals, you have the agents, working your way up and stuff like that.
Right.
There was nothing. There was, no indication whatsoever. We're, do the show, and perhaps there's a rumor, maybe one or two. Nothing. And then one day we go to the Television Critics Association party. Now, this is a party that happens every 6 months here in Los Angeles. TV critics are flown from all over the country. They get drunk. They're shown shows, all the news shows by all the networks. There's, they're fed. They have to go and go, oh, my God, there's this new show coming, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Right.
So we're at this party, and all the critics come up to us and say, oh, my God, what do you do? Oh, you got your own series. Congratulations.
No way.
And we're like, what are you talking about?
That's
you're
hilarious.
Drunk reporters? What are you doing?
I know a few of them.
Yeah, exactly,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And finally, one of them that I had a relationship with, because we'd been interviewing back and forth, and he's always checking up on what I'm doing,
right.
He takes me aside and goes, no, seriously, the president of Fox announced this morning at 11 o'clock that they're doing a Lone Gunman series.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, so I go back to the other two guys at the party and go, did you hear anything? And they go, no. Well, all of a sudden our minds start racing. Well, we're going to be recast. They're bringing in Luke Perry, and they're going to do, all these things. So that night...
Oh, that's wild.
We're shooting all night long, right? And Chris Carter's directing.
Right.
So we get to set, and we go, hey, Chris, we just heard that, Sandy, the president of Fox, announced we're doing a series. And he just stares out into space and goes, I'll call you guys tomorrow. It was like a big mistake that they weren't even supposed to announce it, because he didn't even know. Like, the president announced it without even telling.
Without even telling, or much less asking?
Asking. Or without even asking if we're busy for the next, year and a half or
right.
whatever. And there was no, paperwork in place. It was just, assumed, oh, yeah, right, you're doing a series. Anyway, blah, 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 blah.
Interesting.
And you're just like, what the hell? And then from there, it got weird. Like, you think that part was weird?
Okay.
Get to negotiations. Oh, my God, this is what my comic book.
You kind of had them over a barrel. Come on in.
You would think that, right?
But
they thought they had us over a barrel. I don't know where the hell that came from.
Right.
But so it was a big legal craziness, man.
Very interesting.
It was very interesting. And then cancellation came the same way. Basically, I heard because my lawyer was hooked into Fox, but basically we just read about it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunately more common.
Yes, that is.
Then
getting the series. But basically, everyone knows first. All we did is, you got it? Hooray.
Okay.
Now, wait.
So, All right, we've got...
Oh, you just got the opening. Go in for, like jump in 10 minutes in, because this is just me warming up the crowd.
I'm sorry, you guys, but this really is worth it. I mean, it really, really is. Dean, why don't you go ahead and
narrate?
And man that and get this up. And in the meantime, in the next few moments, I'm going to tell you guys the very first time I met Dean Haglund's story, which he, I'm sure, does not even remember.
I don't even remember.
I had... you were a mutual friend of my very good friends, Harry Wurzman and Gabrielle Stanton.
That's right.
And I went to, just make sure that that's all where you want it, not everything, I'll tell the story. And so I had met you, I think, we'd been at the same parties or something, but then there was something that I was going to ask you about a project or something. I met you at the Coffee Bean and introduced myself as a friend of Harry and Gab's, and you were so nice to me. You were just, like, so nice. And absolutely, this is years and years and years ago.
Uh-huh.
Probably before Star Trek and at the beginning of Langley, probably.
Okay.
And so it's Coffee Bean on Sunset.
Oh, wait a sec. I do remember.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Isn't that funny? And you were, like, so nice. And just so completely, like, here's some information. We were talking about animation, actually, is what it was.
Yes, exactly. And you were doing an animated project, were you not?
Yes, and... Well, there's a couple, actually.
But there was Gary Baseman involved in that, the famous illustrator?
Gary Baseman. There's a few other things that, you know what?
Okay. But anyway.
We can discuss this later. I'm just telling you that Dean just has been very generous with his time for other actors and producers, et cetera. And you've got your hand in several productions.
A few productions.
Things as well. Tell us about
that. Absolutely. Well, let's see. Where shall we start? The movie. With Patrick McGowan.
Yes.
This is about the Rice. The Rife Machine.
Okay.
Do you know Dr. Roel Raymond Rife?
I don't know as much as I should.
Let me tell you. Okay. Dr. Roel Raymond Rife was a doctor and scientist, inventor, who in 1935 apparently invented a machine that cured cancer. He cured 60 people in Pasadena, and then at USC, his lab was burnt down twice, his assistant poisoned. And the guy he was working with was given $500,000 to move to Mexico.
Oh, my Lord.
And he was sued for the rest of his life till 1971. So we have written a script on the story. It's not so much a biopic as somebody from 1971 putting this whole story together and finding this machine.
Wow.
And it's a true story. And it's out there. And some people say, oh, you know, it's quackery and it doesn't work, and other people swear by it. And,
my gosh.
Dr. Roel Raymond Rife basically died in obscurity.
But
there we go.
Absolutely.
That's good fun.
Huge news. Okay, is this up and available for folks at the fandom to watch at this point?
Is it going to stream onto the web?
Do you want to stream it right now, or is that can they stream it at their leisure?
Sorry, Chase. With our 21st century technology, we are yet unable to stream video. At this point,
Damn,
we are able to play the audio.
This is Langley you're talking
about. Oh, okay. Yeah, play the audio, and I will sort of try to explain what you're seeing. You see what I do, ladies and gentlemen, when I'm... I improvise in an episode of The X-Files, and I brought somebody up on stage with me, and he's doing sound effects while I'm miming a whole opening teaser of an alien attack. So I'm brushing my teeth. And he's making sounds, and the sounds are sort of like brushing, like fighting.
Okay.
Way funnier what it's
All right. Well, you know what? We'll let them check that out. But you guys can tell from the rolling, like pee in your pants style laughter, that it was a very funny quality show. So
thank you,
Dan. So now let's get back to. Let's get back to upcoming projects.
Oh, yes.
So this one is something that you are producing?
Yes, producing.
And
Phil Lernes directing.
Okay.
Whom you know, I believe. Do you know?
Phil
Lernes. He was over at Shadowlands,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so him and I have worked on this now for a year and a half, and it looks like we start shooting this April.
Wow.
So, I know.
How exciting.
Isn't that exciting?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That is really, really great.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's coming up.
Okay. Speaking of Shadowlands, Shadowlands is a fabulous little company, you guys, that is poised to start doing some really fine science fiction, fantasy, and horror.
Mm-hmm.
And they have done a film that you have that has just come out.
That's right.
Spectres.
Spectres with
Marina Sirtis.
Yes, that's right. I don't know. Is it Sirtis or Sirtis?
Sirtis.
Well, yeah, Marina Sirtis. And Marina and I and... Tucker Smallwood,
yes.
From Space Above and Beyond,
yes.
Did this movie about, it's sort of a family drama with yes. ghosts and walk-ins, and it's all very scary. Not scary, it's more creepy.
Suspenseful with a very strong family theme, as
yes.
far as I understand.
Did and you see it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay.
And
that was Phil Lernash directing that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, check this out, and anybody else, log on to ShadowlandFilms.com, and that's mm-hmm. where you can see...
And find it, and then the submarine movie. Is it too premature to talk about that?
No, there's some things happening with that, and that will happen as it does.
We're
working on another film with Shadowlands called Deep Fever, and that may be the working title. Not sure if it will be necessarily.
I like it.
It's a strong title, I
yes.
think, and it's got a really very fine, I'd say, suspense horror kind of theme to it.
Right.
So that's going to take a while to come out. We're all busy in the meantime. But,
yes, we are.
But keep that in mind, you guys. Deep Fear with Shadowland Films.
Yes.
So tell us as far as what's in the can and all of that stuff that you're...
In the can also is a couple of things. I just drove across the South this December.
Yes.
In my car and a video camera by my side. And I've documented the whole thing and cutting it together, and that should be out by the end of January.
How fun are you?
I know.
And what did you film, Dean?
Oh, my God. It was basically a serendipitous improvised episode through the South. You know, because everyone said, red state, blue state.
Right.
Our country is divided. Clearly, we are, you know, could not be more farther apart. And in fact, that's not true.
I agree, it's not true.
And at the same time, I saw things that are so far apart from my experience.
True. That is true,
that
too.
Shocked the hell out of me. I wound up, I spent the night in Lyndon B. Johnson's bed, accidentally.
Okay, accidentally?
Yeah.
Did you just fall asleep there?
I swear, it was almost like
that. How did
that
work?
Well, it was sort of like this. I'm driving through West Texas hills. He wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was... it's owned now by an artist. This is the ranch he bought a week after JFK was assassinated.
Right.
420 acres, most gorgeous land you've ever seen.
Outside of Austin?
Outside of Austin,
yes.
That's right, near Johnson City,
yes.
where his other ranches are.
Right.
And it's now owned by this artist named Benigni, who has sculptures and paintings and all that sort of thing. So I brought my laptop and I was looking for wireless hotspots all across the country.
Okay.
Wi-Fi hotspots, free spots, by the way. Great website if you're traveling by car and a laptop.
Wi-Fi free.
Wi-Fi free spot.
Wi-Fi free
has
spot.
Like all these cafes and coffee shops and tourist places.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm driving through Johnson City and there's...
How Langley of you.
I know, isn't it?
Really?
I know. So I'm going, I'm driving around, says the woman at the tourist info place.
Right.
She goes, what are you looking for? I don't know, I might go to this art gallery in Marfa. Well, you know about Benigni, she says. Never heard of him. She shows me a little brochure of his artwork.
Right.
And she goes over to the door, like 2 feet away from her, and she pushes it back, and there's a cafe next to the tourist info thing, right? Tiny little three seats. She goes, he comes in every day at 11. He's sitting right over there.
How fun.
So I take my laptop, and I sit down, and go, hi, Benigni. And I show him my website, and I look at his website, you know,
right.
for the new age business card thing.
Exactly.
And
did he know who you were?
He didn't watch TV. Yeah, we knew to each other. I didn't know
That's
his
really
artwork.
Good,
yeah,
okay.
absolutely. And he said, there's a wedding on my ranch. Today, why don't you come and film that? Because I said, I'm traveling around filming stuff. Goes,
wow.
Come see this wild wedding that's happening. It's run by a Cherokee native healer. She's going to be the priest.
Wow.
And it's with sage, and it's going to be lots of fun. It's my beautiful thing.
Wow.
And I bought the house that was the ranch of Lyndon B. Johnson. So come and have dinner.
And by the way, I bought the house.
And 420 acres.
How nice of you.
So
nice.
I follow him up, and then I meet his wife, and he shows me his artwork, and I attend the wedding, which is crazy, and watch the sun go down in the West Hills, and I said, spend the night.
Oh.
That's Lyndon B. Johnson's bedroom. Why don't you stay there? I'm just like, okay.
Oh, jeez.
And this is, you know.
I hope Lady Bird didn't mind. Oh, she wasn't there either.
She wasn't there.
Okay.
She's over.
Yeah,
in another,
I figured they're gone now.
Yeah, somewhere else.
No, I knew that.
Yeah.
All right.
So now I'm cutting that all together, and it's going to be quite the journey.
That is very interesting.
It is.
Very interesting. So this is a documentary on, basically, what is it called? Do you have a title for it? Red State versus Blue State?
I might call it State of the Union, because I saw this really cool billboard near the Walmart that's surrounded by giant 65-foot crosses. in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow.
Yeah, so it had this billboard saying State of the Union and then giant crosses and a Walmart.
That's intense.
And I thought, well, that sort of might be the whole way it's encapsulated.
Oh, America the Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many different things to say about that and to see it. But I think that one thing, and we'd be really remiss if we didn't say that this week, thank God, we've been necessarily united.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, I think, you know, it's tragic and horrible.
Absolutely.
Obviously, but when we need to, we come together.
We
and
all come
the
together.
Chips are down.
Absolutely, and globally too, yeah. We all come together, which is really great. And I think that this is also the power of the internet again, coming
yeah.
together. That this information, that everybody finding your lost friends and relatives through websites and stuff like that, if this disaster even happened like 5 years ago,
right,
it probably would have been far more traumatic. Not that it's not traumatic now, but that you would have had much harder time communicating and finding out what was going on and
finding
all that sort of thing.
And
finding people and connecting people and all that sort of
right.
thing.
Right, and getting news and word out and you know, raising money, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask, we got 4 more minutes.
4 more minutes.
We got 4 minutes.
Wow.
Let me, you know, there's a couple
I'm
things.
Very flirty.
I'm very flirty. He's very flirty.
Am I flirty?
Laughing out loud. Jeez. Are you flirty?
I didn't
Not
think
with me, certainly.
God.
She's no.
No.
All right. We have three and a half minutes. I want to ask you, speaking of which, what do you have any favorite causes that you like to talk about or let people know that you'd like
Absolutely.
Them to
Absolutely. Well,
support?
Every, I go to El Faro,
and their website is elfaro.com, I think.
Spell that?
ELFARO.
Okay.
Or just do a search of that, because they might be under auspices of a larger charity organization.
Okay.
It's an orphanage in Tijuana that I go down to every six weeks. I mean,
oh,
and there's a bunch of us, and we play with the kids, and there's about 110 kids that all just, you know, there's other organizations giving them cash and instruction, but, you know, sometimes they just want to play. And a lot of these organizations don't really think about the emotional playing development of orphans in Tijuana.
No.
So,
right.
So we there's a group of us just go down and we, you know, hold them, listen to them.
That is really lovely.
Play in the dirt with them, whatever.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really
Aww.
Great. We take them to a water park and go swimming, and it's really, really fun.
Oh, God.
So,
what a blessing.
Oh, it's really great.
That's incredible.
So that's the big charity that
I
work with.
That is really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you guys want to email Dean, there's a place that you can email him on the website.
On my website, deanhaglund.com.
Great.
And
and maybe find out some more about how you guys can help support that.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
And we've just got a couple minutes left. We have covered
now
so
I should
much.
Be flirty.
Now you should be. Can you imagine?
I'm flirty.
I got one question, and I got to another question after that.
Okay,
What's
two questions.
Do you have a dream project that you want to do, or something that you're looking to do beyond all this? Do you want to produce? Do you want to keep
Absolutely.
Acting? Do you want to direct? What is your what do you see as your long term?
My long term goal. Well, I'm getting a lot of film work. I'm about to go in. We're doing a like Reno 911. But set in the post office. I start shooting next week.
Oh, how fun!
Yeah, it's gonna be really a lot of fun. Pretty funny too.
Reno 911.
Yes, do you know that show? It's an all improvised thing about cops in Reno.
Okay, right.
Right, and they're kind of all wacky.
Okay.
And this is gonna be a government project that takes post office workers into an environment to test them on various things that they don't know they're being tested on.
Boy.
So it's a hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Kind of, yeah, a
so
big brother.
Whether or not they go postal.
Exactly.
Right.
In fact, it's called Going Postal.
Sometimes. Is it, in fact.
See?
Going Postal.
Is the name of that project.
Going Actor. We,
right.
We all
so
have our little niche, not just postal workers, mind you. Let's be politically correct.
Absolutely.
But I understand. Especially around this time of year.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then I see myself continuing to act as well as write and produce and draw comics.
Very exciting. Okay.
Very exciting.
We have 1 minute left.
Oh my God! Should I take more time?
You know what? Say any thoughts that you want to share with the world or anything that you want to say to people. There's so many chances you have, but here's a chance to just say, you know, here's some thoughts.
Here's some thoughts. Some closing thoughts. From just being on your show, Chase.
Well, from anything.
Oh, from anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't be flirty now.
I'm trying not to. How can you? People, Chase is a beautiful woman.
I'm commenting on your.
my flirty.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the last comment.
Go on.
The
Thoughts for the World.
Thoughts for the World is maintain a sense of humor. Mm. You know, the reason I do stand-up and continue to do stand-up, so many comics go do stand-up on the road just to get a sitcom pilot, and then they never want to go do comedy again. And to me, that's such a tragedy,
right.
Because if you are given the gift of a sense of humor, it should be shared,
right.
So that we can all have a laugh at a time when we need them the most. And so I hope everyone comes and sees me when I perform in their town. And
fabulous.
And share the laughter.
That is such a great thought.
Yeah.
That is a great, great thought. Oh, meanwhile, there's also a listing for appearances on the website.
Are you coming to any of those?
I will absolutely have
to. I need a camera person again.
Thanks so much. I will see if I can, if I can... buy a ticket, if you're not sold out, then I certainly will.
Oh, please. I believe as a camera person you get, like, VIP
seats. Oh, thank you so much, Dean. All right. Comedian, actor, technology inventor.
Oh, yes.
Modern dancer extraordinaire. Langley himself, Mr. Dean Haglund. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so much fun.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, check it out, DeanHaglund.com. Join us next week when we will have Claudia Christian at 4 p.m. on Monday the 10th at TheFandom.com. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We'll see you then. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you, Chase.
Today's radio show on TheFandom.com is sponsored by our featured product, the Empire Strikes Back All-Terrain Armored Transport. The AT-AT, for those in the know, is the iconic, gigantic, four-legged transport and combat vehicle. This fantastic piece from the original studio was used in The Empire Strikes Back. For more information on ordering, log on to TheFandom.com.